Oh, this is so exciting, Wendy.
This is, he just jumped.
This is so exciting.
So cute.
you know, I have three loves in my life. You know that. I love
family.
My family. I love Pez, candy.
Yes.
And I love tennis. Yes. Those are the things I love the most. My family, Pez, and tennis. And there's this huge, huge tennis tournament coming to the UIC Pavilion a week from Wednesday, May the 17th. It's the Power Shares Tennis Series. Listen to these names. John McEnroe, Jim Courier, Mark Philippoussis, and a guy named Andy Roddick. And Andy's on the phone right now to talk about it. Andy, how are you?
That was an introduction. I need you for my general self-esteem.
He's geeking out a little bit, Andy.
A big bit. A lot of bit. I'm serious, Andy. Oh, go on.
I'm telling you, us has-been athletes need introductions like that. That was amazing.
Explain to everybody what goes on here, because really, the four names I just mentioned, in my head, those are four of the best guys I ever saw play tennis, and you're one of them. So explain how this came to be, this Power Shares series.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, it's an opportunity for us to kind of play a handful of dates a year. Chicago is one of the markets that we keep coming back to. Obviously, it's I don't need to explain to you what a massive sports town it is. And so it's fun for us to play there. And it's a good mix of kind of my contemporaries. You know, Fish and Blake play sometimes. Obviously, Philippoussis is playing the Chicago date. And then guys that I grew up watching, like Jim Courier and obviously John McEnroe. You can see him throw some stuff. It's still great.
You know, even in the ads, Andy, I don't know if you've seen the ads for Power Shares, but even in the ads, they show you playing guts out tennis. They show Courier doing the same, Philippoussis. And anytime they show John McEnroe, he's yelling and screaming and angry. You know that, right?
Yeah, well, we all try to add value where we can.
Has McEnroe figured out a way how you can hit the ball while throwing the racket?
Oh,
would like
that
throw
be
the racket ahead to hit the ball? Has he figured that out yet?
I don't know, man. It's amazing because we're all, you know, we all understand that our we will never play as well as we used to play, right? We still enjoy it. We still have kind of moments, and we still have egos where we want to win. Mac gets legitimately pissed off if he doesn't beat someone 25 years younger than him. Like,
does
legitimately
he?
Upset.
Andy, refresh my memory, because I know you retired, in my head, very, very early in life. Were you 30 or 31 when you retired from the circuit?
I retired on my 30th birthday. It was my gift to myself.
What a gift, man.
That seems so young.
Well, especially now when you see Roger winning slams at 35 years old. You know, I don't have a great explanation for why. I woke up one morning, and that afternoon I decided I was going to retire and went in and retired. I was probably looking at a shoulder surgery of some sort, probably minor one, but it was a long road back. I had some pretty cool opportunities available away from the game. Frankly, I'm a lot easier to be around when I'm not having to try to be a good tennis player, so... you know, it was a decision that benefited a lot of people besides me.
Well, this is my theory, Andy. You're married to Brooklyn Decker, and if I was married to Brooklyn Decker, I would retire that day. I would just say, I'm done doing tennis. I'm done doing everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what happened figuratively. Literally, it took like 3 years later.
How often do you play now, Andy?
It comes and goes. You know, I probably play an event similar to the one we're doing in Chicago, maybe 15 nights a year. And then beyond that, I'm pretty busy with other things. So I'd say I practice maybe a day a month.
Well, you have a very young son, too, right? Is Hank a year or 2 years old?
Yeah, he's 19 months, and he's an animal. He's pretty fun. He's all boy, and we've had a real good time with him. And it's, you know, it's fun because I don't know if you all have children or not, but 19 months, it's kind of it's been two-way traffic as far as communication for, you know, 5 or 6 months, and that's been a lot of fun.
Does having a 19-month-old prepare you for playing with McEnroe a little bit?
there are some parallels. But it is funny because, you know, I'm not the person who has anything. But he does have this little Wilson racket. I went to Walmart to buy a racket. And, of course, the only racket I could buy was the one with Federer on it. Made me want to vomit. And then so he's walking around the living room like 2 days later, and my wife and I are in the living room kind of watching him. He takes the racket and he throws it across the room. And my wife's like, that's your son.
Sure it is. Of course it is.
I hate to scare you, but Bill has two daughters, twin daughters that are 20. Mm-hmm. I have two teenage boys, so it gets even worse with boys than 19 months. Just, I'm warning you now.
Oh, no, I'm in the sweet spot. I fully understand what's coming my way. I'm trying to just enjoy his innocence now.
Right.
But will you at any point, Andy, will you steer him toward a life of tennis or away from a life of tennis? Will you have that influence, or will you just let him make up his own mind in that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really let him make up his own mind with anything because he's 19 months old. But,
yeah.
But I don't know that I would be I would probably expose him to other things first. I think he's probably going to hear so much about tennis without me having to say much about it. I definitely would expose him to other things first, just so he kind of has that in his rhetoric a little bit. And then I think that decision-making process will be a little bit clearer. But I'm certainly not going to push him towards tennis more than anything else.
Were your parents tennis players?
No, my parents were farmers. So kind of like the opposite. My dad ran a farm from the time he was 13 years old. So,
wow.
You wouldn't figure that a dairy farmer in Wisconsin would raise a tennis player, but you know that's what happened.
But actually, he raised two, right? Your brother John was a very decent player as well.
Yeah, and he's been the NCAA Division I men's coach of the year in college a couple times, and so I always say that my parents were obviously from Wisconsin. We just explained that, but they kind of figured out the ins and outs of tennis through him, and then I reaped the benefits because I came along after.
So are you good at lawn tennis? Because there's a lot of grass on a farm as opposed to a tennis court.
Yeah, that's probably why I was good at tennis. Federer's parents must have been like better dairy farmers or something. They must have been more grass.
Now, Andy, you have mentioned Roger Federer's name a couple of times during the interview.
And vomit
in the same breath. Yeah. Now, be honest, he was, in your playing days, and maybe right up till today, he was your nemesis, wasn't he? He was the guy you had the most scorn for on the tennis court.
Yeah, and it's really annoying because I really like Roger and I respect him. And he's the way that you would want someone that's as revered as him. You'd want him to be the way he is in real life. But I mean, it was tough. It was a tough matchup, and frankly, he was just a lot better. So he was Michael, and I was Tito for most of the 2000s.
Perfect analogy. Andy, explain this to me. I always wondered this about you. You changed coaches quite often. You had a lot of different coaches over the years. What was behind that, and what did you learn from each of the coaches? Was each one of them bringing something new to your game?
Yeah, I think it was situational. For instance, I had Jimmy Connors for a little while, and I think we both knew that was more of a shot in the arm. I don't know that we ever viewed it as it was going to be a decade long relationship. I think he enjoyed the process of kind of getting back into it and at least experiencing the competition a little more, even if it was kind of through a bit of a conduit that was me. But then different people brought different things, and you get along with some on the court. But the thing that gets undersold as far as tennis coaches is you're spending probably 280 nights a year with them, whether it's eating, whether it's training, you're always around the person. So, you have to get along with the person away from the court also. So, I'm thankful for what each of them brought, but it's definitely, a bit of a different thing than most sports, where you leave the locker room and you're done with that person for the day. It doesn't exactly work like that in tennis.
One of those coaches, what we just talked about, your brother John, he coached you for a while, didn't he?
Yes, and he was more than happy to quit like 3 years later. I was that annoying.
Andy, I've been a fan of yours, honestly, since I first saw you play, and I've learned so much in just watching you, your positioning, the way you spun the ball. I spin every shot, and you're part of the reason, because I would see you do it, and I'd go, that really messes with your opponent's head, so that's the reason I do it. I can't wait to see you play on May the 17th at the UIC Pavilion. It's PowerShares Tennis. What you want to do is visit Ticketmaster.com, and all the information is there. I'm so looking forward to meeting you in a couple of weeks.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andy. It's Andy Roddick, everybody. Right, again, Power Shares Tennis, May 17th at the UIC Pavilion. It's going to be great. It's Andy Roddick, Jim Courier, Mark Philippoussis, and a guy named John McEnroe. And John is going to join us in about a week to talk about it as well.
You happy?
I am so happy.
You're so cute.
Seems like a nice guy. And he did a Tito Jackson reference, which made me warm inside.
Good for you. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We are celebrating Cinco de Mayo. Is it de Mayo or de?
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Either or. We've got a mariachi band for our listening pleasure that's coming right up.